Okay. So the whole conception from impersonalism to personalism based on relationship. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a conclusion that any literature, any association, if it does not promote these three things, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavan Sambandha Bhakti Avideya Haya Prema Prayajan Veda Tina Vastu Kaya. If they don't establish these three things, then obviously there is something seriously wrong. Why? Because constitutionally we look forward to have a personal relationship. If you are honest to yourself, go deep down in your heart, you always want to be surrounded by the people who loves you, and you want to express also your feeling. It is natural. This is what soul is made of. And if any religion or any philosophy condemn that relationship, they are doing a most harmful thing. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu literally trying to establish, and he is going to purify that through these teachings. This is a wonderful chapter. I mean, every Chaitanya Charitamrita is a wonderful chapter. So Mahaprabhu is giving here the conclusion that in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion to Ramananda Rai, now this is very interesting, that Jagai Madai got delivered in one day. The complaint came by Nityananda Prabhu, and next day they got delivered. Sarvam Bhattacharya, he was also Mayavadi. And he had a misconception, but some way or other, he obtained the Mahaprabhu's mercy in 7 days. Jagai Madai got in one day, Sarvam Bhattacharya got in 7 days. But Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur, he did not get even in the beginning. Mahaprabhu came to Banaras. It took 1 year after next year when Mahaprabhu came in a detour that he was delivered. And there is a significance we can also reflect in our life. What caused Jagai Madai? Of course, I'm not saying that we should act like a Jagai Madai. You know who Jagai Madai is. Jagai Madai are those two born Brahmin who became a mafia, big ringleader, who used to study philosophy every day, Shastra. And what they would find, Bhaktivinoda Thakur write, Dushtajan Pai Shastra Hoite Dushtamoti. Every day they would read scripture and say, ah, this is what this guy did, horrible thing, let's go today, we'll do that. So they went out and they did it, and they come back and they study again scriptures. So they were also serving scriptures to fulfill their desire. It's interesting. Sometimes we take scriptures to fulfill our own desire. I want to go to temple, I want to chant, so I will be happy. So I will be more joyful, and then this will solve all the problems. Yes, in this world, we see that people mostly are self-centered in that sense. So we are not denying it. But at the same time, this is not pure bhakti. When I'm afraid of disease, of some virus, then I will pray. Then I'll chant. Oh, this is okay. Why? So I can get out of it. Okay, that's fine. But this is not pure bhakti. This is just an advantage taker. This is still considered karmi, even though they take shelter of bhakti. So maybe you can. But Mahaprabhu is so merciful that through the association of devotee, he will purify and bring them. So that's the good part. But we should reflect where we are, where our consciousness is thinking. Mahaprabhu already knew every aspect of Bhakti Siddhanta in full. If this were not so, how could he have empowered the heart of Ramananda Rai with all devotional conclusion. See, ultimately conclusion came in Ramananda Sangbad, and this is proving in Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur conversation what Mahaprabhu is giving. You know, the question raised, how was it that Lord gained knowledge of Siddhanta conclusion by hearing from the lotus mouth of Ramananda Rai? What is the meaning of this? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave the answer that previously Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's knowledge had simply been jnana. Now if you look at the sloka, one sloka before today's sloka, what is it, 105. Jnanam paramam guhyam me jad vijnana samannitam. Today's verse is the explanation of that verse, few sloka now. That answer is that previously Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's knowledge was simply jnana. Theory, theoretical. But after hearing from Sri Ramananda, that knowledge became vijnana, realized knowledge. What does that mean? So like this sloka, it says, jnanam paramam guhyam me jad vijnana samannitam sa rahasyam tad angam cha grihan gaditam maya. So obviously here, Supreme Lord Krishna is speaking that, oh Brahma, you cannot understand this by your own intelligence. This is what Mahaprabhu is explaining. As a living entity, only by mercy you can realize. What are the realization? Four things. One, jnanam. Jnanam means theoretical knowledge. What is theoretical knowledge? That what is God's sarup, original form. Jnana indicates Krishna Tattva. Knowledge that we grasp by hearing is also from another, from the speaker or from another, is also called jnana. Then what is vijnana? Realized knowledge. What is it? Is the knowledge pertaining to bhakti to me? And bhakti means began. Radharani is the emblem of supreme bhakta. And knowledge when realized in the heart called vijnana. It was vijnana that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu obtained from Ramananda Rai that he's actually bestowing to Prakashananda Saraswati. Rahasyam. Then the fourth thing, rahasyam. Rahasyam, what is rahasyam? It's a confidential knowledge, secret knowledge. That rahasyam is actually signifies the love of Godhead. What is the goal of life? Then the next word is tad anga, concomitant parts of what knowledge or the limbs of devotion. The pradhan, the unmanifested modes of material nature in its original and undifferentiated state. When we understand the truth of Radha and Krishna that Mahaprabhu came to give, then that becomes tad anga or loving pastimes. So conclusion we can come to this, that Sri Krishna, Mahaprabhu is acting here as a devotee of Sri Krishna. Here Mahaprabhu is saying, Sri Krishna, who is inconceivable, simultaneously one with and different from his own multifarious energy, only by the process of pure bhakti, knowledge that we grasp by hearing from another is called jnana, which when realized in the heart, then is called vijnana. And it was that vijnana that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu obtained from this discussion from Ramananda Rai. And the conclusion he gave, that Bhagavan Sri Krishna is the object of everybody's love, worship. He is the supreme enjoyer or object of bhakti, you can say. He is not ashray, the abode of bhakti. He is completely unaware of the feelings aroused in the heart of the sadhaka by his devotional service to him. Krishna knows everything, but still he is interested to know what each devotee thinks of him. So bhakta serves Krishna in, you can say, four ways, even though santo, santo is given, but generally that relationship, that daishya, sakya, vatsulya, and madhurya. Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani, recently I was in Mayapur, we were discussing that, that the difference is a very extreme phenomenon. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to do with Prakashananda, after explaining these four sloka, then Mahaprabhu actually going to drown him with Krishna prema. And Srila Prabhupada gave a story that when Rupa Goswami Pad came to Varanasi, he was surprised, shocked. He saw from other side of the river that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu drowning in Benares thousands and thousands of sannyasis. You know, Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur had 60,000 sannyasis. Rolling on the ground, crying for Krishna. Rupa Goswami Pad started trembling and crying, and Rupa Goswami Pad immediately paid obeisances. And he composed a beautiful verse, which we say every day. Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauru Pishena. Prabhupada said he composed that verse that time. So this is unbelievable what Mahaprabhu has given. Now, of course, some of us sometimes think like, what is that love of God? And how come I'm not getting it? You know, was if, for an example, like, you know, the mango season is coming. One ripe mango. While I am eating, I am claiming the taste of that mango. Oh, this mango is very good. Showing my face, my eyes, mouth. But question is, are you getting the taste by my explanation? No. Honest answer will be no. Because mango juice or rasa has no tongue. And tongue does not have a mango juice or flavor. So rasa is not explained on rasa form. Opposite. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought to drown this Kali Yuga living entities is easy if they just follow simple process of hearing and chant Hare Krishna. And definitely that will be the easiest and cheapest way to get love of God. And those who are sincerely chanting without offense, they should be experiencing this. And this is natural. So now I go back to little theoretical. If you go to Bhagavatam, there's a four question Brahma asked. And now, from today, and next, whatever the time it takes, a few weeks or something, there will be answer of this four question. So let's catch those four questions. This is, first question comes, the spiritual Brahmaji asked to Krishna, the spiritual and material form of the Lord, though they have no material body, what form of the Lord, both in matter and in transcendence? Now, it's a very unique question. The God has a spiritual form, and we see the deity and we think, well, the deity was from Jaipur, was not from spiritual world. And if we do not understand how actually Krishna appeared in the deity form or in the holy name form thoroughly, then we'll be misunderstanding. We'll have a doubt. And you know, in 5th canto, 13th chapter, that Rahuguna submit to Jarabharat, and he gave a very high definition, description of the cause of living entities' bondage and the liver, complete freedom from the material nature. And the cause he gave, there was a tree. The word goes, nahi adbhuta tat charanam bhujareno bhi atahangasa bhaktir adokshaje amala muhurtikada jasya samad gamachame dustar kamula apahata abhivekam. So we have a tendency of doubting, arguing within ourselves or with others. We also have a false prestige. And the third one, Srila Prabhupada translates, the lack of discrimination. Because of these three things is what binding us. If we can somehow or other purify those three things, how? By the bathing in the foot dust of the devotees. It's not just a metaphor, you know, you scrape the dust from the feet and put it on your head. It is the instruction, bani, that we follow exactly without doubting or without interrupting or without putting our own idea about it. Mental speculation will keep us away. Philosophical speculation is okay. It will take us to bhakti. There's a big difference between this. So back to this, the first question, that's why I was asked by Brahmaji, what is the spiritual form and material form of the Lord, though he doesn't have a material form? So then what form of the Lord, both in matter and transcendence? The second question he asked, what is your material energy and internal energy? And how the different energy of the Lord working? These two questions is actually one question, 27 text. And then next question says, how Lord carries out beautiful, wonderful pastime in relation to material nature and with the internal energy? How Lord play with different energies, in other words? And the last question he asks, please instruct, give me some instruction for attaining desired goal. He also humbly proposed that please instruct to discharge the duty that you entrusting to me. So Brahmaji received the four answers. And I'm not going to spoil the future speaker. Because there's a four answer now coming one by one. So this is just giving a little hint that once we understand this four question with four answers, then we're supposed to be instantly liberated. Of course, question comes, who is supposed to understand? Well, first of all, Prabhupada said, to understand, you have to stand under. Means accept an authority. Be always subordinate. It is the soul without filtering through the mind, without filtering through the false ego or false pride and all this. If it can accept as it is, then instantly, yes, you will experience that freedom from the material nature, nirgun platform. And when Lord speaks, he speaks very uniquely. He gives that the first answer is the Sambandha Gyan with the Absolute Bhagavan. That is called Gyan. So the answer that he gave in a short keynote, first he say what is Gyan, Sambandha Gyan, and then next is Vigyan, analytical knowledge of God's energy, especially external energy. And then third, the process, sadhan bhakti, the meaning of attaining the goal. And fourth, what is the goal? And how it, this is the goal. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur even put that the Lord promised to answer above four questions personally, also realization as well. And this will continue further. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his writings to Dasamul Tattva, BTG just published, very nice, I think, yeah, this month BTG has, you can see, that these words, Jnanam Paramam Guhyam Jad Vijnana Samanitam, that Bhagavan says, O Brahma, knowledge of me is non-dual, yet it has a four distinct division. What is this? Jnana, Vijnana, Rahasya, and Tadanga. Living entity cannot understand this by his own intelligence, but you can understand it by mercy. So what is the Jnana again? Sambandha Jnana means Lord Swarup, his form. And relationship with the potency is the Vigyan. And living entity is the Rahasya, secret mystery. And Pradhan is the Tadanga, or Jnana Anga. Now before this creation, I recall, Bhagavan was pleased with Brahma's worship. Brahma worship. You don't ask a person, senior person, and expecting a first-class answer without service attitude, you won't get. It won't happen. Because the speaker or the advanced devotee, when they speak, and they, just like Kamal Krishna Maharaj says, why can't I just get it by reading it? And Prabhupada pull his ear, twisted a little bit. He says, just like this. I can correct you with this, but the book cannot do it. So there's a little difference is there. Of course, Bani is very important. There's no question. But still, when senior devotee gives, he also wants to see the audience. Who is the person listening? And what interest or where that person is situated in his or her existence. So that's why Bhagavan said to Brahma, I'm explaining to you this most confidential knowledge of myself. The Vijnan which it is endowed, it's Rahasya, mystery. And the component, accept all this form of me. Means all this together is God. Not that Krishna is separated from his energy. It is not possible. Energy and energetic always eternally exist together. Generally, we see in this world, recently we were discussing in our temple, that there are two types of knowledge. The pure knowledge or Shuddha Gyan, and then the knowledge of the material object. All Floridian, I mean all American beings or all human beings of this world acquire this material knowledge through how? How they acquire? Through the senses. Whether from UF, I mean university or college or parent or neighbor, but through their senses. But what that knowledge is impure. That's why it is useless for discerning transcendental object. It is useful to maintain the body. but not to transcendental object. So it is only useful in relation to the living entity, this conditioned state of material existence. Now, knowledge that pertains to spiritual consciousness is known as pure knowledge. That is eternal. And it is the basis of the this Hare Krishna philosophy or devotional service. Spiritual knowledge is antithesis of material knowledge and is completely distinct from it. The material knowledge is not realized knowledge. Looks like, oh, I understand what the virus is, how they kill the person. I have seen in my life or I have experience of this. This is related not to the soul, to the body. So soul, the spiritual experience is not same as material experience. But it is not, we don't call as a realized knowledge in true sense of the term. The real reason that like Ayurveda, Jyotirveda, other types of material knowledge are called Vigyan, even though they come from Veda, is that they are contrast to pure spiritual knowledge. Actually, true realization is that pure knowledge that is distinct from the material knowledge. There is no difference between Gyan, which is the knowledge of truly abiding substance, Chitvastu, or Vigyan, and Vigyan, which is knowledge of how such an object is distinct from matter. So Gyano is direct perception of transcendental object, whereas Vigyan is the establishment of pure knowledge in contrast to material knowledge. Although those two are actually the same thing. They are known either as Gyan or as Vigyan according to the methods they employ. But material knowledge is not realized knowledge. But the Vaishnava, we Vaishnava, say that realized knowledge is the true diagnosis of material knowledge. Like for an example, America has examined the nature of military science, medical science, astronomy, and chemistry, and they have concluded that these are all material knowledge. And the living entity has no eternal connection with them. That is the point. Therefore, these different types of material knowledge are of no consequence in relation to the living entity's eternal function or bhakti. We Hare Krishna devotees, we understand that those who are expanding their mundane knowledge according to their material propensities are immersed in karma kanda. That's why last few weeks we are starting Bhagavatam first canto, fourth chapter, fifth chapter, that where distinction made between Bhagavatam and other scriptures. The Bhagavatam is transcendental literature, but other part of Veda Purana does not promote the eternal servitorship or surrender. Rather, it promotes, like Mahabharata, it promotes, okay, I know the pastime or I know the some history or some great kings and this, that. It's good, but it does not promote surrendering to Krishna. But until the surrendering takes place, the purpose of the Gyan or knowledge is not complete. That's why the material knowledge of those who pursue material advancement is insignificant. This is certainly no objection to that. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining in a brief to Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur that all these four question, four answer that Brahmaji will get, after that there will be examination, you know, there will be exam, or Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur will exam. And when he exam his heart, and he will think there is absolutely nothing else is important than this, and he will submit himself. That time, at that moment, he is pure devotee. Because if any knowledge is not promoting the surrender and accepting the spiritual life as reality, eternal function of the soul, and endeavor or do sadhana to revive the dormant love, which is all along in the heart. So long they are not doing this, then it's incomplete. And when they done, or when we do, individual us, then also our journey is complete. Journey is complete means from that moment, we are not concerned about material condition. We are literally can be in this body in America, and aloof and above this material turmoil, you know. We all are going to die one day. This is one of the life's hardest truth. Hard to endure and hard even to contemplate. Equipping us to face this reality. But Bhagavad Gita explained that at our core, we are eternal soul. Death is an event that happens only to our bodies, not to us. We should remember that. Actually, we don't die. We never die. And this Krishna consciousness, ISKCON, that Prabhupada established, the purpose of here, that we should live for the pleasure of Guru Krishna. And we should die also for him. That is the purpose and perfection of devotion. So I'll end with this. If there is a question, comment, correction, we have 3 minutes, a few more minutes here. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Really nice class. Thank you for your association in the call, Prabhu. We really appreciate your association in the call. Any devotee have any question or comment for Prabhuji?
Prabhu, Dhamvat Pranam. All blessed to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. Prabhu, I had a query here. Like in the beginning of the class, you said that many people, they start looking at the scriptures as a way of the karma kanda to get some benefits. Rather, we also sometimes before, like this fasting or that pathan is done to get something material. So my question is, like those devotees or such people, can it be just one step towards getting into Krishna consciousness for them? Like instead of this atheist who do not do anything, can it be considered that just at least they are starting at some point and doing some rituals, at least in the mode of ignorance, but later on they might come into a mode of pure consciousness of the Lord? Like how can we understand that, or how can we guide such people in that way?
We are not, let's see, the verse in Bhagavad Gita, you know, Chaturvidha bhajante mam janasukrita narjuna. How did they come? They come because they have some piety. Okay, Sukriti is there. Due to the Sukriti, they have come. But what is their intention has to be checked. Like Dhruva Maharaj has come. Dhruva Maharaj wanted bigger kingdom. Bigger kingdom than his fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers. This is like a very unbelievable. He wanted such a big you can say enjoyment spirit that he did not care about devotional path. In one sense, yes. But because the verse is not in actually Bhagavatam. This is by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Madhulila explained this. Sthano vilasa tapasi sthitoham tam praptavan deva munindra guhyam kacham vichinna api dibbaratnam samini kritato asmi varam na jace. So if I recall, Prabhupada's translation was wonderful. Prabhupada says that, I'm paraphrasing, that Dhruva Maharaj was praying that, my Lord, I was seeking for a big material opulent material position. And in order to get that, I did a severe austerity. Tapasi, Sthitoham. I did a severe austerity, and now I got it. You have appeared to give it to me. But what I have achieved, it's almost impossible to get by demigods or saintly person or big personalities, kings. But when I saw the heart, tenderness of the heart towards you, which is bhakti, it is so powerful, so nourishing the heart, so happy that it is, he compared like a searching for a piece of glass. Instead, I have found the most valuable diamond. So now if you say that entire Brahmaji's or entire material opulence is like a broken glass, that's like a kind of insult. But this is what he actually did. You know, Brahmaji's abode has a thousands of petals. All these great, great, wonderful personality lives there. Three types of people lives in Brahmaloka. Prabhupada explained. So they live there and Brahmaji is there. It is like a big, huge, you know, 40 million bedrooms and so much explanation given. And Dhruva Maharaj says, oh, the whole beautiful Brahmaloka is like a piece of glass, broken glass, not even a bottle or a cup. He said broken glass means I never saw anybody use the broken glass, maybe for some painting or something. But generally, broken glass you throw in a trash can. And he considered like this. So from that angle, we can see, yes, he got it. But if we analytically study that what made him, that he wanted for himself, that's like a demoniac nature. What made him to come to this point? It was the association of devotees. It was the association of devotees. First was his own guru, his mother, and Narad Muni. So, yes, anybody can be considered, but they should not stop there, because that desire that brought them to God should not stop there. And if they stop there, that is a misfortune. I hope I don't see like that. A lot of people come to Krishna consciousness and they have a comfortable religious life. Krishna consciousness is not a comfortable religious life only. It is, I mean, that is there. I'm not saying that is the only thing in Krishna consciousness. The ultimate purpose of Prabhupada giving gift is that to obtain the love for the Lord. That means we have to be very serious and sincere. Just to have a comfortable religious life will not do it. That is my point. I hope it clears.
Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes, Mataji.
Go ahead, Mataji. No, no. Go ahead, Mataji.
You should go.
Can you... I'm sorry. Prabhu, can you give us some practical examples and tips on how do you see Krishna in everything that you encounter in everyday life?
First of all, you know, Ram Navami is coming next week, I think. Yeah, April 2nd. April 2nd, Ram Navami. I was reading some Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, because I'm going to do a 5-day seminar online. While I was reading, I was thinking like, wow, the Maricha is such a character I never heard. And he's one of the person that was born in a demon family. There's absolutely no question, you know, association of Taraka, his mother. And then Ravana, of course, he has a whole history of... They're not even demons. They are more than demons. They're Rakshasa. They are man-eaters. Rakshasa are generally lower quality, tamagun, and Asura generally rajagun, little better. I mean, both are bad, but within bad, you know, there is a gradation of bad. But he was both. But, you know, the story that how Ram did not kill him, well, but the arrow was so powerful that took him far, far distance that it was impossible for him to even think that ever such powerful personality exists. That made him such a strong that he was thinking like, wow, it's impossible. Ravana or anybody can even imagine. So even when Ravana proposed later on that he wants to join in his camp, and he did not want to join, and if you remember that. But then Ravana scared him that, well, you have one choice. You know, either I'll kill you or you join in my scam. But then Maricha chose to be get killed by the Ram. But the point was that the moment he heard the name Ram, he started shivering. And he says, Ravana, back off. You have no idea. He is Supreme Lord. There is absolutely nobody is as powerful as him. But of course, it did not. It went through the ear of Ravana, but did not go to the heart. It passed through the other ear. So he did not get it. But Maricha literally expressed that. One commentator says that he would see Ram's, the word Ram, immediately he would see Ram's face in the tree. He would not see the tree. And I was like almost stopped reading. I was like meditating. Like, wow, how is that he sees Ram in the tree, not the tree? And I remember when Jogeshwar Prabhu asked Prabhupada, how do you see Krishna? What is your view, Prabhupada? Tell us. Prabhupada says, what do you mean? I said, like this. What do you see here? Prabhupada says, I see the soul and I see Krishna as the super soul within. And then I see the material nature made a body called tree. He said, so how did you see the soul first? He said, without the soul, the tree would not grow. That matter does not grow, does not have a life. And in order for him to even act from a sprouting to the plant, to the bigger tree, and the fruits flower. It has to be sanctioned by Krishna. So he's also there in the heart of that tree, in the seed. So Prabhupada said, I see the soul, I see the Krishna, who is interdependent sanctioner, permitter, observer, supervisor, and I see the material nature gave the body. And Yogeshwar Prabhu said, this is just the opposite, because we see the tree first, and then we try to concentrate how the soul is there. Let's see. Okay, the seed, soul has to be there, otherwise it would not be a tree. So we go backward, but Prabhupada said, no, you always think of the soul first and the super soul. Because in the material world, super soul is seen as interdependent. Interdependent, like you are speaking over the phone now. How do you speak over the phone, and how am I hearing? Well, obviously you are not this body. So then how you are speaking? You have a desire to speak. You have a willingness to ask the question. Okay, that is coming from the soul. But then the material nature created this tongue you have, and tongue vibrates. The Pracheta, the demigod Pracheta, is sitting here. He has a direct connection with everybody's tongue. And the vibration, the sound, the Bayu Devata or Pavandev, he's carrying it. There's a 49 Marut, and the Bayu Devata carrying this and carrying through the fire called the cellular phone. And it's coming to my ear, but my senses, the ear or your tongue, is a product of Rajagun. And the Rajagun is not visible unless Krishna sanction it or super soul sanction it. Then ear is not hearing. Ear is only facilitating as a sense. Ear is just a sense organ. And then the sound comes to the ear drum, and he plays the drum. And the drum has a connection with the brain. And the brain has some memory impression of those words. And then it retranslate to my brain, and through my brain, the physical body and the mind is capturing. Oh, this is what she said. How do you see the super soul or Krishna everywhere? That if those words are not there in my brain, imprinted before, I would never grasp it, what you're saying, trying to say. So whole operation that I explained is nothing but Krishna. This is what he does. This is what interdependent means. Like even I'm speaking, it's the same thing. I'm speaking the Pracheta through the demigod. How is possible demigod? Krishna says, Brita Kala Chakra. That they are afraid of this Kala Chakra, so all the demigods are completely functioning. Since Super Soul is sitting in my heart and he sees that I cannot speak through my tongue right now because demigod did not want to act on it, he will punish. Krishna can intervene because it's Krishna conscious discussion. Krishna can take over the tongue. That will be the best instrument. But Krishna also uses the demigod to function. So my tongue is vibrating, same thing, and the sound is going. And the Vayudev also afraid of this Kala Chakra, getting this order, seeing Krishna, and Krishna is watching that how actually the sound is going to your ear right now. And Dikpal is standing on your ear, holding the senses made of Rajagun. And Dikpal is allowing it to play in the drum. It does not happen automatically. Dikpal is guided by the super soul, Krishna. And then it connects with the brain. Then you perceive, soul perceive through this filtering through the brain, the mind, the first of all, the consciousness, thinking, willing, feeling, coming from the soul, from the spiritual realm, it filters through the subtle or mental to the physical. It channels through. And through the brain, it accommodates its functions. So how this whole thing operated? If the soul departs from this body, it won't work. So obviously, soul remembers everything, even to desire to ask this question, Krishna has to be there next to you in the heart. Otherwise, that question will not even be there. Krishna even says, Sarvasya Chaham Ridhi Sannivishta Matta Smiti Gyana Apanancha. It is I who sanction the memory and knowledge. So even to ask the question, even to give you the answer, it is all coming from Krishna. So we are grateful. Oh, thank you, Krishna, for giving such a wonderful question. Thank you for giving such a memory to remember, to explain. We are grateful in everything. Even if you see outside, I'm looking through my window, there's a car. How do I see the car? If I am not this body, then who is seeing? Who is the seer? The seer is the soul. How the seer is seeing the object? Well, first of all, Krishna says, Trivir Guner Mayer Bhave Sarvam Idam Jagat. Trivir Guner Mayer Bhave Sarvam Idam Jagat. The whole material is running by these three modes, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. How is this? This car is the object, sense object, my eye to see that object is a car, made of tamagun. That matters. Are all tamagun product. When the tamagun product is influenced by the rajagun, it's visible. When it is like completely in tama, it's terminated, means destroyed. There's no proof. Like I had a father, and I cannot prove you that I had a father because he's not there. His body is diminished, terminated. That body is there. The soul is there. Soul has no death, but the body is gone. That's the ultimate destiny of tamagun. Rajagun means visibility. It makes its visibility comparative like this. And sattagun means perceiving. Like I am perceiving this car. How am I perceiving this car? The pupil in my eye, see how super soul Krishna is arranging this. Allowing the pupil, first of all, this eye, the whole senses, is a product of rajagun. And through the rajagun, this eye are created. Then through the pupil, a photo is taken, and it goes through the back of my retina of the eye senses to the brain. And when it goes to the brain, there's the impression of this black Honda like this, and then connects to from the brain to my mind, immediately say, yes, this is a black Honda, I'm seeing it. The whole operation, if you look at it, I'm not this body, but how this, it's all super soul, Krishna. When we acknowledge that, when we see that Krishna is actually helping us to come back to Him, then we submit ourselves. My Lord, it seems like I'm only desiring. Through the nature, you are function, making my body, everything is like possible. Then you feel like overwhelmed, you know, you feel like to submit yourself to Krishna and appreciate His kindness and helping me. And of course, in 10th chapter, you can see all this, like, you know, trees, and how even something came in my mind, you know. One devotee said, my mind is so dangerous. I said, maybe you can try to see mind amongst the senses. I'm the mind, Krishna says. He said, if mind is giving you some trouble, say, hey, that is Krishna. How can Krishna give trouble? The moment you think like this, you know, 10th chapter gives 76 view of wonder in this world. So bottom line is, I know I'm going into details, immense is God in the nature. Immense is God in the nature. Transcendental is God beyond the nature. So we have to see both sides. Our connection, wherever we are, it is also with Krishna. If we can see that, then instantly you will be in a nirgun platform. I don't know if that gives you some idea.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Can I just follow up on your answers, Bisma? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on your answer just now.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple things. One, just right now you said something about, I couldn't catch the words, so you said Krishna will something transcendent to material nature and immaterial nature.
You know, the question now. was that how to see Krishna in everything or everywhere. Then there is a verse, if you, I'm sure you have Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavad Gita 10.41, that Krishna gives, jat jat vibhuti mat sattam simat ujjitam eva va tat tat eva gacchattam mamatejam sa sambhava. The translation I don't remember exactly like Prabhupada, but I'm paraphrasing the way I understand. That all the opulence, we should know, anything beautiful in this world, anything glorious, anything that attracts us, anything that we fall for it or we want to look or want to know, it is spring from but a spark of my splendor. So I put it in a word that immense is God in the nature.
Immense? This is the word.
Immense. Say, I like this boy, or I like this girl, or I like news. I like to read newspaper. I like any attraction in this world we have. It is Krishna. Krishna claimed that that's him. So when we understand from that, because we all are innately pleasure-seeking, you have to agree with me in that. In our, because Shastra also says, Jiva Sukhaniti, pleasure seeking by nature. You know, in our quest for pleasure, our senses constantly look for enjoyable objects. I mean, I'm talking from my own life, you know, I see it. Seeking such objects, we travel from city to another, one country to another, you know, people do, one continent to another. Yet, pleasure eludes everyone. This is evident from the sobering truth that even celebrities who have the best sense objects are still depressed, addicted, even suicidal. I was into diamond business before I came to Sannyas Candidate, and I studied Elizabeth Taylor's Hope Diamond when she got it from Richard Burton. And she was saying that, you know, she was very famous in America one time, that she said she was so depressed when she got this Hope Diamond and she went into drug. So even though she celebrated, but she could not find satisfaction in herself being celebrated. You know, so many women love to be in her shoes. She's a one of the person that never bought any jewelry on her own. She always got a gift. Even Mike, anyway, I don't want to go that route. But so the point is that why do the sense objects not deliver the promised pleasure? That's the question. I always ask this. Because everything in this world, including the most attractive sense objects, are all temporary and can at best offer us temporary pleasure. Whereas we are looking for lasting pleasure. I mean, I have one devotee, he says, I don't know what happened, whole life is gone. Like, I still have a enjoyment spirit, but my body is falling apart and I'm just disappointed materially. I said, that's good that you are a devotee, otherwise you would be really sad. If you didn't have a devotional path. And this is the reality. This is the reality. We are looking for lasting pleasure, specifically the pleasure of lasting love, especially in America. We all long to love and be loved and do so forever. Such lasting love cannot be found in this America or India or this world, temporary world. Question comes then, where can it be found? at the eternal spiritual level of reality, as Prabhupada says, explains, we are eternal spiritual being and parts of supreme spiritual being, Krishna, meant to delight in immortal love for Him. And in that love, longing for happiness perfectly and permanently fulfilled. I mean, we have to realize this. Nothing in this world, however good looking, can replace Krishna. That's why we need to redirect our longing from the world to Krishna. And even while focusing on Krishna, if the world distracts us, you know, I am very experienced last few years on this, that we can remember the eye-opening Bhagavad Gita inside. He says this, if there is some attraction coming on your way between me and you, that is also Him. I give you a little 1 minute explanation in Nectar of Devotion. I'm sure you read it probably. Uddhava, he was a celebrated monk. He was the best devotee in Dwarka for the Lord. And there's just so many verses, just Krishna reminds. But anyway, I'm not going to discuss the whole thing. But what's very interestingly, Prabhupada put it in an act of devotion, that one time Uddhava is so much attracted to Krishna, always adoring. His mind is overwhelmed with Krishna's beauty, Krishna's... Even when Krishna came out from the assembly hall, and he was surprised. As if he never saw, he said, wow, there is another person, so beautiful, wow. Does he live in Dwarka? Where is he coming from? And then Krishna just forgot that he is surrounded by millions of his, you know, ministers, headed by Uddhavas and all the soldiers, and, you know, Antaraj, there goes in a billion in number to Sudharma Hall, but he's coming out. And he just wanted to go faster to catch that man because he's so beautiful. And then finally when he came, he realized it was his own reflection on the pillar. And he was a little embarrassed. He said, oh, that's me. And he wanted to grab himself. It's so attractive, unbelievable attraction. So then he turned a little bit side and he realized, oh my God, I forgot. They're all following me. That's what they do. Uddhava and thousands of ministers. And Krishna asked Uddhava, have you seen? Uddhava says, of course. That's what we do every day. We are madly in love with you, my Lord. You have an unbelievable beauty, unbelievable quality, personality. Your presence, every word you say, it's more adorable. So then one day, Uddhava saw himself attracted to a girl, beautiful girl. And he said, this is impossible. Krishna's beauty took over me. How can it be possible? I'm attracted to this girl. And Prabhupada writes this in the Nectar of Devotion. Then Uddhava said, no, it is not possible. It has to be Krishna, otherwise not possible. Sure enough. He paid obeisances to that Mataji, and Mataji turned into Krishna. Because origin of beauty of all attraction, it is coming from Krishna. If we can focus on that nothing in this world, however good looking, can replace Krishna. That's why we practice Krishna consciousness, that connects our consciousness with Krishna, giving us glimpses of His supreme sweetness. So, enriched with that taste, we can see the world's attractive objects not as independent sources of pleasure, but as pointers towards their all-attractive source, is Krishna. If you recall, I think I did speak to this audience before, that there is one devotee, Jayanta Prabhu, and he's a sannyasi now. He joined in France, Paris. And in a morning walk, Prabhupada was introduced by him. Indradumna Maharaj actually made him devotee. Was it? Yeah, I think Indradumna Maharaj made him devotee. Then, well, he brought him and then he introduced to Prabhupada. He said, this is a playboy. So Prabhupada says, oh, you like to play? He says, no, no, he's a playboy means he loves girls. Prabhupada said, that's nice. You like girl? You found some attraction? And he said, yes. He said, good. Then you tell the girls that you'll introduce them. You probably heard this. I mentioned this story many times. That, or at least few times. That I'll introduce you a boy named Krishna who will never cheat you. But I may cheat you. No, I will cheat you, he said. So next day, so this way, day was over. Next day, Prabhupada again saw him. He said, did you do it? And he thought, oh my God, he's serious. He thinks, really, I'm going to tell the girls that, is my phone working? Let's
see. We hear
Hare
you.
Krishna.
We hear you.
Oh, okay. Okay. So then, okay. Then he saw Prabhupada was serious, and then he actually says, what do you mean? How can I tell them that I will cheat them? That will be like a... Then Prabhupada said, what attracts you? Why are you attracted to Krishna consciousness? He says, no. So what attracts you the most in this world? He said, the girls and the flowers. He said, good. You are lucky candidate. Now find out what in the girl that attracts you. What in the flower that attracts you? What is the origin of attraction in that? You will find, when you find, that is Krishna. So I don't take it literally. I mean, we try to see also this way. And it's actually satisfying. We get a more attraction to Krishna. Because it's not possible for any attraction in this world has capacity to attract us without Krishna. It is Krishna who makes this attraction through those objects. This is the summary of that sloka. So when we enrich with that taste, we can see the world's attractive objects, not as independent sources of pleasure, but as a pointers towards their all attractive source. And I can tell you, when we devote ourselves to Krishna with increased conviction, we rise to spiritual consciousness to relish forever the happiness we have been seeking for lifetimes. Prabhupada gave a nice purport. You can read that purport. It's a beautiful purport he gave. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, Prabhu, I was just trying to hear this word. It, you know, when you were describing the purport of Gita 10:41, this word I couldn't catch. Immense. Is it immense? You were saying. Is that the word?
Yeah, immense. Immense. I have a Bengali accent. I don't know if you can get
no,
it.
No, it's not that. So immense. Right. That's the word.
Correct. Correct.
So can you just repeat that sentence? Krishna immaterial nature is immense, and
no, I paraphrase that transcendental is God beyond the nature. Generally, we know that Krishna means Satchidananda, deity. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Satchidananda, deity, and spiritual energy, they are one at the same time, not one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for an example, Prabhupada said, microphone. Now, he was speaking through the microphone. He said, microphone is a dead matter. But because we are using for Krishna consciousness, we are speaking through it, now this is spiritual. Now, that spiritual doesn't mean it became Satchidananda. We have to understand that. Spiritual means it's beyond the three modes effect.
Mm-hmm.
Satchidananda is Satchidananda, like impersonal Brahman. It's everywhere. The whole creation, even America, whole universe, they are sustaining on this Brahman. So, but that Brahman is not, it's coming from Satchidananda, but it's not Satchidananda, because there is no variety. Satchidananda means there is a variety. There is a thinking, there is a feeling. So spiritual energy means spiritualized. We said this became spiritualized. Means it is beyond the modes. Modes has a three function, you all know. So those function, modes means has a beginning, has an end, and in the middle is Sattagun, beginning with Rajagun and end with Tamagun. The moment this body was born or came out from mother's womb, the Tamagun already, that was the function of Rajagun. Giving birth is Rajagun. Immediately Tamagun appeared to destroy the body. It's sad, but if you look at those three modes, material nature standing there, good thing is that Krishna is not making visible to everybody, because they would be scared. What? Just give birth and the other lady say, yeah, I'm going to kill you right now. And then Satyagun comes in. No, wait. After 80 years or 75 years or 100 years, whatever. I said, I'm in between. That is Satyagun, maintains. So it's scary if you look at that. But it is not scary. Why? Because at the core of our existence, we are eternal soul. Death is an event that happens only to our bodies, not to us. So then at that time, you drop your body like a garment. You'll be fearless. Today one virus, tomorrow something else. There's always fear in this world. So that was my explanation.
Yeah, I know, but I just want you to repeat the sentence in which you used that word. It meant.
Oh. Then the half one sentence I said that Krishna, transcendental is God beyond the nature. So that you understood, that's Satchidananda body. And immense is God in the nature.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you so much. I do have another question is, when you're explaining Vigyan versus Gyan, right? And normally, I understand the difference between those two to mean that, you know, Vigyan is realized knowledge and Jnana is just like theoretical knowledge. But it seemed like you were making a different kind of distinction, which I also didn't catch. Or were you? Was that essentially the distinction you were making, realized versus theoretical?
Jnana means theoretical knowledge. It's about original form of transcendental identity of God, Swarup of the Bhagavan. When you say realized knowledge, what does that mean? Means how that Swarup or Bhagavan's form or Bhagavan relates with his energies. When we say realized knowledge, what is realized knowledge? Means how it is functioning. Like you heard how I was explaining that how these modes playing the game by the mercy of Super Soul while we are conversing over the phone. Now, more you deeply think, you will be focused on Krishna. Said, oh, Krishna is allowing him to speak through the demigod. The mouth is vibrating, prachetas. Then the air god taking it to the dikpal, to the ear of me. And through my ear, the dikpal is allowing it to play the drum and connects with the brain. And then the soma, the moon god, with the connecting through the brain to the mind. And then the soul is perceiving like a filter, you know, seeing a red glass through the red glasses, I see everything red. So the mind will create some idea or understanding, and then we get it, and we think that is me, the soul. No, no. The soul is not getting exactly clear understanding until he comes to submissive point. That's why submission is required, surrender is required. That time it can be directly perceived by the soul. But before that, the mind gives a filter what mind thinks you need. Just like if I look at through the red glass, I see the white car as a red car. Now, the white car color is not diminished or disappeared. It's still there. And my perception is also true. But when somebody comes and change my glasses, say, no, you look through clear glass instead of red glass. It's, oh, there was a white. The white was there before, and white is there now. But in between red, this is what the conditioned life is, that the filtering that we go through to perceive something, it's what making the soul not become serious and rather more attached to this world and entangled. When you understand that, how the energy is working, then it's called realized knowledge.
Okay, so it just means the experience of reality begins.
Yes.
But then how did you define Gyanam then?
Gyana is the original form or identity of God. Theoretical knowledge in a sense that you know the Tattva, that Supreme Lord has a form, He exists. He existed before creation, in the middle, and after annihilation, He will be still there. This is Gyan. But how He maintains, how He's connected with all the living entity and the energies, these are realized form. Then that Gyan become realized, Vigyan, means that God has a relationship with material nature. How? Well, the material nature has a two concepts. One is a person, one is a dead matter. Dead matter also has a two concepts. One is subtle, one is gross or physical. So the dead matter has no free will. So nothing, material nature actually cannot do anything without Krishna's sanction. So when you see that connection, oh, this happened because Krishna sanctioned. Now, we have to be very careful because...
Well,
very
that's
funny
Vigyan,
from the,
right?
Yeah, well, from the city, one person was asking, this philosophy is very nice. So actually, God is doing all this, coronavirus and all these things. I said, no. He is sanctioning. God, yes, gave us permission to come here. He allowed us to explore with this, but He did not create the story, history. History, we are making our own, ourselves making the history. This is my life. I was born in there. I want this in life. I want this in life. And my grandfather had this. These are history we make, and He's sanctioning it. Because if we say everything is done by God, then our drawing God as a like a some kind of monster.
Yeah.
Krishna is sanctioning, but He gave us
otherwise
free will.
We're robots. Yeah.
Correct. And Krishna doesn't establish His lovable relationship with robot.
So would you say that recognizing that is that He's only sanctioning, would you call that Vigyan?
He's sanctioning, but how He's sanctioning, how it's affecting to our eyes, how we are seeing it, how I am, where I am, all this connection when you see that who am I, my relationship with the material nature, and my relationship with Krishna. What is material nature's relationship with Krishna and material nature's relationship with me? When you see all this connection and it's acting that way, that is realized knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yeah. And you remember when you were explaining how, you know, even if a person, as you were saying to the other Mataji, you know, even the fact that you're able to ask a question, that is Krishna. So how is that Krishna without, you know, without it being like robotic, you know?
Ah, very nice. If you have, I mean, I don't know why I say if you have, I know you have Bhagavad Gita. 15:15, Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham ridhi sannivista. Matta smriti jnana apanancha. So Krishna says that even to ask a question, the memory that you have, it's sanctioned by me. It is I'm giving you. You're not. You don't possess this. Now, you may say, so then where is the free will?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the free will is very distinctly. Let's see how it works. Free will, it's like, it's like, okay, you know the difference between the response and impulse?
Yes.
Response comes from the soul. A conscious being can respond. Conscious being has to have a discriminating power, has to have a logic, some reasoning. Then he can response means he's aware of the result of that action or whatever it is, and he is consequently taking responsibility. So free will is the distance between impulse and response. Impulse is not coming from the soul, it's coming from the storage of mind. So like for an example, you wondered sometime for something, and then when opportunity comes, Krishna sanctioned it. Now you say, how do I remember all of a sudden? Oh, it was Krishna sanctioned. But did I want it? Yes. So you have a desire, Krishna fulfilling it. So you're seeing this, but that's why we don't take credit. Say, if you say, okay, today's discussion was nice. If I take the credit, oh, I was nicely discussing. That will be a false claim for me. Because it is coming from Krishna, by the mercy of Krishna, then I must give it back, offer to him. Then it is devotee. Prabhupada, you know that, Prabhupada never took credit. He always gives the credit to his Guru Maharaj. Because it's true. It's not like he's trying to be humble. He is humble. That is proper. When we give credit back to our Guru and Krishna, then it is proper.
Because the memory to speak those things are coming from Krishna. Is that the point?
Yes. Yes. Krishna claimed there. He said, from me, it's coming. And to forget also coming from him. We don't talk about it that so much, but it's true. Forgetfulness also comes from him. That's why even this city officer was saying that why people are afraid. I said, people, what we fear reflects what we hold dear. If you really think very dear. Because they are holding this body is them. Oh my God. The body will be finished, means I'm finished. That is mistake. Because they are afraid, actually they reflect. Anybody, any human being can do that. Animal is difficult for animal to do it. But human being has given that higher, what they call budding consciousness. There's a 5-layer of consciousness evolution. You know, covered consciousness, contracting consciousness, budding consciousness, blooming consciousness, fully blossomed. So this different layer of consciousness, so humans are given a very nice opportunity that they can literally reflect. that why I'm afraid, what I'm afraid of. And if they reflect, they will say, oh my God, I'm holding, the body is me. But I'm the soul. I never have death. I never die. Life is wonderful. Everything is, I should be responsible for everything good and bad coming because it is my decision that I made last life or million life back. I'm seeing the result. So at this moment, in this crucial time, I'm making my future. Wow. Let's focus on Krishna. Then future will be wonderful, bright. Freedom is not just an opportunity. It is also a responsibility. I mean, you have to agree with that. I told him that. That we have free will, that freedom that we have is not just an opportunity. It is also a responsibility. You know, we have to absorb in Krishna. Absorption means it's a cultivation. Sadhana bhakti, every day we do. That's why I love morning program sadhana. It's wonderful. And anywhere you go, if you are attached not to the place, this is just, I'm sorry, I should not say that. This is just for me. I experienced this because I went to 3 countries in last 1 month and I noticed something was very wonderful that if I am attached to the place or the sitting arrangement, my sadhana may not do well, you know. But if I am attached to the sadhana, then I'm going to finish 32 rounds or 16 rounds or whatever, 40 rounds in one sitting. And you are attached to that practice of sadhana with perfectly set up in a sense yourself, not the environment or situation, because we are product of our decision, not situation. So then you will be happy anywhere you go. But if you are attached to your couch or your situation, and then some places may not have a couch, and that doesn't mean that you don't feel like to chant with a attention. So our attention, our chanting sadhana should be focused on purpose of sadhana, not the facility or situation. Then I noticed it was perfect. It was wonderful. It was 1 month through, I did not have any problem. Even though one time I got sick, but still overcome. Sadhana is so good, wonderful. So that's why we say that it is a responsibility. When we want to absorb, it is a cultivation. But cultivation not on the situation or facilitation. It should be a decision we should make. And my realization, the happiness is also decision, not just emotion or benediction. You know, it's also aspiration. Prabhupada inspired. Every day when I read, Prabhupada inspired so much, I feel more happy. You can go on for a few hours and then again come and read again. Go on. So happiness is inspiration is also. It's not necessarily only emotion. Anyway, that's it, another subject. But thank you for asking that question.
Also, just to clarify, you know, when we ask a question, Krishna is giving us the remembrance of the subject matter so that we're able to ask the question. And then just trying to see what part is Krishna, what part is.
What
so
part
the
is
part
you?
That's us is just the desire. He's sanctioning the desire to ask the question, and then from there okay. He gives the remembrance of the subject.
You remember the story, if you remember the story of Puranjan. Puranjan's story is very, Krishna just reminded us. So Puranjan's story is like he became a girl next life. So in the conversation, the commentary is given that he was asking, I wanted to enjoy a girl. How did I become a girl? So he said, you had a desire to be obsessed on that particular form of a girl. So Krishna fulfilled your desire. But you do not know the what will actually make you happy, so you struggle in different life. So in this case, how do we put? For example, I desired something. I may not remember after 6 months that opportunity came. Then Krishna sanctioned, reminded. Okay, here is the opportunity you wanted 6 months back. I'm not hearing like this, like 6 months or 1 year or 5 years. We don't know when it was. But every desire that we have, Krishna is trying to fulfill by sanctioning when the opportunity comes. When opportunity comes, we don't want it. When Krishna sanctions, most of the time, and that's why there's a disappointment comes. And the disappointment creates another desire. So we go on. This conditioning is also eternal in that sense. It will never stop. Annihilation finish, everybody jump. Shiva collects all the soul, put into the Shiva Linga, back to the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, to the Karandakshaya Vishnu. And who knows, there is no watch how long you live there. You may live there forever, or again come new creation. This is never when we leave this world. Only thing goes with us, the conditioned soul, is the desire. It's never gone. It's never destroyed. It stays. When new creations start, again those desires are there. But we don't remember. Krishna appears there in the heart. In the heart means in our thinking, in our feeling. Krishna appears there and he reminds, you wanted this, you wanted that, you wanted a big airplane, you wanted a skyscraper building. Look at, you can do this and you have to pay for it because you wanted but you didn't get the eligibility. Okay, here, there's opportunity of business. So Krishna gives. Everything that we ever wanted.
But then you said, sometimes we don't remember. So if he gives us opportunity, why wouldn't he also give us remembrance that we wanted that thing?
It is his gift. It is his mercy that he does not remind us everything that we wanted, when we wanted. Because if literally Krishna reminds or gives us a memory of our previous life, we may lock the door and kill ourselves.
Mm. Yeah.
It is his mercy, and I can tell you, I'm not going to make you boring. I gave one day actually class in Switzerland. Was very interesting. They asked this question. They said, can you elaborate more? You have time, 1 hour. I was like surprised. We went for 3 hours, different story and pastimes of previous life, how it comes to this. And the conclusion was wonderful. This couple, they said, oh my God, I never want to know my previous life. I said, but if you share this to others, they will not accept it. They want to know. But they don't know exactly, like when even, you know, this young boy was born in this family of a king, only child. And when the king says, and the child died, and the whole world was looking for this child's future, and the king even built a toy house for the prince, even though the child is only 6 months, they made a playground, and the factory of the toys. It's like an over-obsession with the child's future. And the child all of a sudden died. And the nurses, they found dead, and they fainted. The queen fainted. King fainted. Everybody fainted. Then the sage comes. The sage says, hey, king, this is not a time of lamentation. You should understand Krishna consciousness. He said, don't talk like this. I am drowned into the ocean of lamentation. He says, for what? For this my child. He says, I can bring him back. Will that make you happy? He said, yes. So he said, who are you? Of course, he is the Hare Krishna devotee, Narad Muni. But then, king conversing with his own son. I'm just giving a little glimpse of some past karma. That the child got up. He was on the crib. Cannot get up. But now the six-month-old child got up, actually, standing on the crib. He said, who is calling me? Narada Muni says, your father. I said, father. I had so many fathers, so many lives. And the king said, don't say like this. I'm the only father. Don't you know the whole world is waiting? I made a toy factory. Anyway, he's giving holes. How the whole future. And the child says, how do you express so much feeling for me when you remember how you brutally tried to kill me? And you killed, you succeed. In my previous life, in order to expand your kingdom, I was your neighbor king, and he gave the name, and he was like and king's eyes like opening. When a murderer, they remember the scenery of pathetic dying. He said, I beg for life. Please spare my life. Then you cut my one thigh. He said, please let me live, let me live. You cut another thigh. Please, I beg you, I'll never protest. It's your country, you take it. Let me live. You cut one by one arm, another arm, then stomach, then throat, one by one. How cruel you were. And you claim I'm your son, and you're my dad. Oh, my God, this king turned back to Narada Muni. He said, let me become pure devotee, Hare Krishna. I don't want anything of this world. I want to become devotee right now. Please take me away to the temple. Mm. Maybe you don't want. Maybe all of us don't want to see our previous life. No, even now Krishna reminds of this Dhritarashtra to ask the same question. Same question he asked to Vyasadeva. Why did I suffer for 100 sons? At least one son could be alive. And he came to the same conclusion. He doesn't want to know anymore. Done. He wants to get out. He wants to go away. He wants to go to God. But that will be fear-based. Fear-based love. And you remember I mentioned before, I always say, because Prabhupada is so practical, he said, you cannot put a gun to the forehead of a girl and say, you love me or I'll kill you. Because love is a free choice. It cannot be forced. So Krishna doesn't want to give us memory of previous life, then we'll be out of fear, we'll become his devotee.
No, not previous lives, because I know that would be too traumatic. But, you know, if I wanted something before, I wouldn't still want it now?
This will intervene your reaction of your karma. Just like this devotee told me he was reading one Purana, and he found an interesting story, and he relates to his life. And he says, why this girl was attracted to me? Because last life I hurted her, and this life she's going to get married to me and going to hurt me. So I was a bad guy, now she's going to play as a bad guy. Now, if you see that scenery, you will not even go for it. But attraction in your heart is still disturbing you. And you start like, oh, God, I love her or I love him. But then you don't know how to reconcile if you know the truth. Then you will be paralyzed. You will not be able to function. So it's better, Krishna is out of compassion, closed everything. He said, don't worry, it's a new, fresh life. Like one story also, and I'm going through a lot of, what is it, 1 o'clock. There's another story also, just in a synopsis, there was an accident, and in accident, the leader, he was the driver, he killed all these 20 people. And next life, all these 20 people, some or other, are hurting him. And he's like against the whole villagers, all these 22 people. And this, he's thinking like, why these people are like not like me? But he does. Krishna is so kind. If he really reminds him that, oh, look, you killed them last life, he won't be able to get out, open the door and get out. So it is mercy of Krishna. Anyway, all these things is really, the whole conditioning is fearful. It's better we focus on Krishna, then we'll come out of it completely free. Have nothing to do with any more reaction of karma.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol. Thank you so very much, Prabhupada Govinda Das. I have about 100 more questions to ask you, but do you have an email?
I have email, but okay. I don't answer because I got busy with the Sannyas ministry.
Jai.
Mm-hmm. And I get so much work. I can come. I'll talk to Mother Anjana Gopika. Maybe next week
Jai.
I can come back and something.
Okay.
Like
and in answer to the explanation for our pious activity that we may have created in our prior life, previous life, what you were saying is that everything that we do is under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether we are conscious of it or not. And because of our conditioning to our circumstances, like our family life and, you know, our children, we become so attached till it appears that we have the desire to just want to suffer, you know. And and that's why I just thank Krishna for Srila Prabhupada and all of these Vaishnava saints that are really trying to help us understand that, but the only way we can is through purification. And we have to purify ourselves, our souls, so we can understand all of these different attachments that we have for everything and everyone. But I'm saying all this to say, you know, sometimes, you know, while we're living in this conditioned life, we have favorite songs, favorite dresses, favorite cars, and things like that. Are you saying that we're not supposed to be attached to them? I understand that, but are we just not supposed to like them either? You know?
No, I did not try to say that. Maybe sometime my expression, maybe I'm learning English too. Attraction and desire are not same thing.
Okay.
Attraction comes from the previous impression. It's called sanskar, adhunik sanskar and praktan sanskar. Praktan sanskar means it's carrying since time immemorial. So many impressions that still may be holding and never fulfilled. So I give you a gross example, and don't take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
If you see, just imagine yourself a young girl, and there's 10 young boys. Now, one boy you will like more than other boy, just by looking, even though you never met them. But amongst all these 10 boys, you like one looks more your kind than other 9. And the other girl will say, nobody ever judged this. And then another girl will say, I like that other boy. Now the question comes, how is possible that attraction is to the sense object is actually different from person to person? And the desire, now let's look at the desire. Krishna says, Dhyato Bishan Pungsa Sangaste Supajayate, 262. Sangha Sanjayate Kama Kamat Krodhavi Jayate. The whole sequence of fall down to this material world, Krishna gives on the second chapter, 62, verse that Dhyato Bishan Pungsa. When we contemplate an object, impression can give us, some things can pass through our mind, but that doesn't mean we contemplate, we can be selective. But why we became selective to particular things and we contemplate, and from that contemplation, attachment develops, and from that attachment, desire comes. The desire is not automatic. You know, child is not born with a desire. You know, child is born with karma, you can say prarabdha karma, what is supposed to be experienced in this life. But child is not born with dharma. Nobody is born with dharma. Everybody is born with karma. The dharma means how to act. Should I be adaptive or reactive or maladaptive? That's up to us. That free will, free choice is within us. So, of course, the association of devotees guides us, helps us to develop better choice, better selective mood. So from that angle when we look, so then from the advanced devotee we see, okay, in this life I have two sons, and they're wonderful Vaishnavas. Now, if I think that, okay, one lives in Akron, one is in Florida, and they should chant 64 rounds. Now, that will not be practical unless, you know, I see them, they are willing, and, okay, 16 rounds. No, one only does 4 rounds. And he told me one time, a few years back, he said, I'm doing it for you. I said, oh, how come you're doing it for me? Because you're my dad. You are always explaining me how important it is, and I'm just to make you happy, I'm doing it. It's not really Krishna because I don't know Krishna. Even though he grew up in a Vaishnava family in a sense. But anyway, the point was, and I appreciated him. I said, well, it's ultimately for Krishna, but if you feel that you're doing because you want to make me happy, I'm very happy if you can continue like this. And he increased his rounds, and it's wonderful. So, and I prayed to Prabhupada and Krishna. I said, Prabhupada, they are doing not for me, for you, but this is what his fate is. Maybe you can inspire him. And we can always pray. So my point is why I'm bringing this, that whatever situation we are in, whatever attraction we are feeling, experiencing, we should not ignore or reject or terminate. We should utilize, find a way to utilize. And if we cannot utilize it, then if it is destructive desire, then we can pray to Prabhupada and Krishna to purify the heart that will actually, I'm being, generally I don't say like this, but I tell you honestly, a lot of things in my life, I see the prayers are so powerful. It works. This process 100% works. And when somebody really tells me that, well, still I'm struggling, I say, how many times did you pray? Who did you pray? Why did you pray? So, well, I want, like I give you an example, this is a practical, and I won't say the name because you may meet that Mataji. She is a very senior Mataji, and she lives in a temple in America. That's all I can say. I won't say more than that. Then, and she moved in an ashram because she was single now. Her children grown up, and husband took kind of banaprast, and so she lives, and then there is a new bhakti also Joanne, and she lives also in that room, and every time she goes in and out from the bathroom, she washes her hand, and she leaves the wet water in the doorknob. So it disturbs her so much, she's thinking like, should I move out, or should I just tell her, and then she told her. She said, this is not proper. Can you just wipe it, please? So she did for a day, and then she forgot again and went for a few days, and she just got, oh my gosh, she doesn't have a brain. She was thinking like this, you know, like for a while. But at the same time, she's very compassionate, Mataji. She said, but I should not judge her. So she started praying. But then prayers is not answered for a week. She said, I'm praying for a little silly things that it disturbs when I get up in the at night to go to bathroom and there is a water in the doorknob. It just disturbs. But why Krishna is not listening to my prayers? It's a silly prayer. But then she's thinking like, is this something maybe we didn't mean it to be corrected? I don't know. So anyway, she just reflected. She went in the altar and she wakes up the deity that day. She once a week she wakes up the deity. She wakes up, Rukmini Daruka, the deity. Then when she was waking up, she oh my God, this is cold. And with my wet hand, and I'm touching the Krishna's feet and Krishna's body. I never, oh my God, there's water in his body from my hand. I never, then she felt and she cried, you know, she said, oh my God, this is, so she didn't say anything to her and she wiped out, and from next day she's very careful. And then she noticed that girl actually wipes the doorknob every day, automatically. And she actually didn't tell her, but she told us, because we are discussing on a philosophy. And then she said, that girl, actually, Krishna was using her to teach me. So even if we see something not proper to our children or family member, something we need to correct within us. But it's hard to go inside my heart to correct. Because it is easy to blame somebody.
Hari Bol. Jai, Hari Bol. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. That story was really, really helpful in actually visualizing that example. So thank you.
You are welcome, Prabhu.
How come her hands were wet when she was serving the deities? Why were her hands wet?
Because you do Achman.
Oh.
And you touch the deity with cold, and she realized that, I mean, it was there before also, but on that day she realized there's a wet feet, wet hand, wet body. It's like she was trying to, you know, you offer the deity, you take the fluid out, there's, on the hand there's the water, but it's cold weather.
Jai.
Thank you.
Well, I didn't want to not hang up the phone, but I have to get going. I can listen to you all day. Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
Please pray for me and bless me, Mother.
Jai Prabhu. Me the same.
Thank you.
Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Are we done with Mother Anjana Gopika?
Yes, Prabhuji. I saw a little late also. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your association and coming in the call. Thank you, all the devotees, for joining. Thank you so
Can
much.
Can we listen to your Ram Nomi lecture? Seminar,
Prabhu,
that's coming.
Yes, we'll start from fast. I'll send it to Mother Anjana Gopika. Maybe she can send it. This
yes,
is a, what do you call, online conference, same like this.
Yeah, I can share you in the Facebook, Mataji, and our group.
Facebook, I'm not in Facebook, though.
Facebook online, I'll send in the group when Prabhuji is online, and then you can get to Mataji.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Vansha Kalpataru Vaishya, Kripa Sinti Vaishya, Pudita Nama
Vaishya, Pudita Nama Pudita Nama
Vaishya,
Ananta Kodi Vaishya, Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Samartha Vaishya.
Hi, Krish. Pan Govinda Prabhu Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for coming and giving me.